This is, as I was telling the children earlier, is the Sunday we set aside each year to remember the Trinity Sunday, to remind us that we worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and that that while they are all one, they are all three separate persons and embody one God. And it is a great mystery. It is beyond our understanding how one can be three persons and yet one, and how, but even so, it is a mystery how the Holy Spirit can even exist, how God can exist, how Jesus can exist after his death. It is a mystery how we will exist after our death. And yet it is a mystery that we believe and know and cling to. Jesus is telling his disciples, preparing them for the time that they will leave. But he's also preparing them to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I am sure that they were very much like us. That Jesus told them, okay, I'm going to leave, I'm going to die, and then I'll be with you again. And you will receive the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God. And I'm sure that they were thinking, yeah, okay. Because before you believe, before you know something, how can you know? Before you receive the Holy Spirit, how can you believe? How can you? So without the beckoning of the Holy Spirit and the calling of the Holy Spirit, now we know that his disciples were not totally without the Spirit. Because we know that when Peter said, "You are the Son of God, you are the Savior, you are the Messiah," Jesus said, "You do not know that of yourself, but only through the Holy Spirit." And we know that he, the Holy Spirit, did work through the disciples even as Jesus was still alive before he was crucified. And we also know that it is the Holy Spirit that beckons us, that calls us, that draws us in so that we can confess our sins, so that we can ask for forgiveness, so that we can believe in Jesus Christ. And if the Holy Spirit did not call us in, then we would very contently continue to go and live without the presence of God directly in our lives. Apostle Paul says to those who believe it is joy, but to those who do not believe it is foolishness, as I paraphrase. The Apostle Paul was trying to explain why it is when we talk to people outside of the faith about our faith and about their need for Jesus Christ in their lives, why it is that they look at us like either patiently waiting for us to finish so they can talk about something else, or look at us like we're a little bit patronizing, perhaps a little bit like we're maybe crazy. Because to them, if they do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it is indeed foolishness. God's perfect plan for each of us in his life and in our lives, and for each of us in his kingdom, provided for us the Holy Spirit. And as we celebrated our memory of Pentecost last week, we recall that the Holy Spirit came down and God's church was created here on earth. The Church of Jesus Christ was created, beginning in Jerusalem. And the people were filled with the Holy Spirit, and Scripture tells us that their numbers grew. As in the beginning of Acts, we read that their numbers grew each day, and they were gaining believers and gaining people who were receiving the Holy Spirit and being baptized by the thousands. God is still at work in the world today. This work of the Holy Spirit did not end in Jerusalem. This work has continued throughout the world. And today, while not as often in the United States as it used to be, but today throughout the world, there are thousands and tens of thousands of people coming to know Christ as Lord and Savior. I was at a quarterly presbytery meeting about 3 years ago, and I don't recall which of you were there, or who was there that time. But there was there were some leaders of the seminary in Ethiopia that is sponsored in part by the Presbyterian Church. And one of their leaders stood up and he talked about the education that the people were getting in Ethiopia. And he said they are learning and they're gaining strength. And he said we can't produce pastors fast enough because the number of believers in Africa is growing so fast that we can't produce them fast enough. And he said, and we're teaching them to be pastors, but he said, we're also teaching them to be missionaries. And he said, and we're telling them that we are watching what's going on here in the United States and that we soon will be needing to send missionaries to the United States, even as the United States sent missionaries to us for hundreds of years. The word of God will prevail. It doesn't matter how much one tries to stop it. It doesn't matter how much one tries to ignore it. It doesn't matter how much we try to live our lives on our own, within our own strength and our own power, and follow our own direction and our own will. The word of God never comes back void. It never returns to God unanswered. The only question is, are we on board or not? God has his will for his people. And Jesus Christ is saying is, he's saying to the disciples, he's saying that if you are in my word, if you are in my will, if you believe in me, then I will give to you what God has given to me. He said, because I am in the Father and the Father is in me. We all yearn to know and to have a better understanding of who Jesus Christ is. But we can never come to that understanding that until we understand who we are. If we are one in Christ, then we, to get to know, to really know who we are, we have to know who Christ really is. We have to be one of Christ workers, one of Christ disciples, one of Christ believers. It's very difficult to have Christ light in your life. It's very difficult to have a little bit of faith in Christ. None of us has the faith that we would want to have. I would certainly love to see all doubts and fears just vanish from my life completely and never have a concern at all and everything, because I know that I'm in the hands of the Father. But that is not how God made us, and that's not how, and we are fully human and not God at all. But we do have the Holy Spirit. We do have the Holy Spirit. In two Sundays from now, we will once again celebrate Holy Communion or the Lord's Supper. And on the front of the table, it says, "In remembrance of me." On the front of the communion table. We need to live our lives in communion with Christ every day, all day. Christ has to be what forms us, what informs us, what shapes our lives, what tempers our words. Yes, even what tempers our very thoughts. One of the things that we read about in science fiction books is that, you know, in science fiction books have delved in from time to time. They talk about in the future. Of course, it used to be in the science fiction books just talked about cameras looking at us everywhere, every place we went. Well, we live that now. Some of the science fiction books talk about thought control. Our God is completely powerful. Our God is completely all-knowing, and the Lord Jesus can do absolutely anything he wants. But he chooses not to control our thoughts. Because if he controlled our thoughts, how would we be able to choose him? How would we be able to experience love? How would we be able to love him? If you have complete thought control, then you're a robot. You're not a being. You can't make choices. But giving us this freedom, he also allows us to fail. And fail we do quite a bit. And this is what Paul is talking about. Paul was saying that you will have trials, you will have difficulties, you will have times when things are very, very tough. And every time we do our prayer requests and we talk about the people who lost loved ones and people in our families who are so ill, and we're so concerned about them, we know that there are very tough times in life that we must endure. We know that we will experience pain, but Paul says that we have the choice to go through this pain, go through this experience with joy, with confidence that the Lord Jesus Christ is in control, that the Lord does love us and love the people that we love. And we do have the ability to persevere. And he said this perseverance will create a stronger faith and will bring us closer to God. And over again, we hear about these people, the great people of the Bible who have gone through these things. We've heard about, we remember, of course, my favorite, Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was later thrown in prison twice, and yet God used him everywhere. Everywhere Joseph went, Joseph prospered. Wherever Joseph was placed, he bloomed. He bore fruit. And so God has told us in every single way possible, from the beginning of the book of Genesis to the end of the book of Revelation, he has told us that he is in control. We are part of his plan, and that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are one in love for us and in care for us. And if we allow our lives to be shaped by this relationship with Jesus Christ, then we will experience joy. We will experience hope. And we will persevere. Amen.